Welcome again to each person here. Good morning, Linda. Good morning, everyone here and online. So good to see you. I brought a couple gifts with me today, gifts of hope and a gift of joy. And it turns out that you brought a gift with you as well, a gift of community. Did you not realize that this gift of community is right here underneath our noses? Well, maybe a story can help to illustrate and explain some of the mysteries and hurts of community, because one of the things I notice about community is it's present for some of us here, and for others, community is absent. How can that be? So, a story. In November, a team of people here from Zion traveled down to Asheville, North Carolina, to build bridges. We didn't know anything about building bridges, at least not physical ones. But there had been a significant flood, and we wanted to go help. And I should tell you that on Tuesday of that week, it was a difficult day for me. I was feeling very discouraged. You see, three people that day had said, "Why does a pastor come on an MDS trip?" I started to wonder myself, what am I doing here? I'm slower than all the guys on the team. I'm not as strong. Like, what am I doing? And I cannot hook, I've got to show you this picture. I don't know if you know what rebar is. I heard that, Marv. Yes. Rebar has two loops. It's a wire. It has two loops on the end, and you use this tool to loop it together, and then you twist it, and then you crank it. Marv tried to teach me. I was really bad at it. Josh tried to teach me. Josh is so good at this. This is an exaggeration, but he could, behind his back without looking, hook the two loops, and I'm joking, but when he taught me, he was so humble about it, too. You should know this about Josh. He's so good at this, and so humble. I could not get this thing. It was so hard for me. Well, there was one thing I did right on this very discouraging day when I wondered, I felt like I didn't belong. I wondered why I was there. And there was one thing I did right. I reached out to a couple of friends, my community, and said, "Hey, would you pray for me? I'm really discouraged." And pray they did. Because that next morning, after breakfast, we had devotions. And Nathaniel, who's a young man from Canada who was there with another group, shared a devotional. And here's the words he said in his devotional. And this is where the first gift I have to give you of hope comes in. Anybody who wants hope, get ready. Because God works through community. Nathaniel's words caused tears to run down my face. Because he said from Psalm 147, "God's pleasure is not in the strength of a horse. It's not in the legs of a warrior. God delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in God's unfailing love." This community that I was with in MDS reminded me to let go of my shortcomings and celebrate God. Second, there was Greg. Now, Greg was a long-term volunteer. I think he'd been down there for months. And I had been watching them one afternoon going up and down this bank in this huge roller, crushing down rocks beneath them, and it was fascinating to watch. And then he said, "Come here." And there's nobody around me, and I do the, like, looking, like me? He says, "Yeah, come here." Calls me over to the roller, says, "Get up here." Okay, he explains how to go. This moves you forward, this moves you backwards. If you push this button, it'll make the whole thing shake and it'll crush the rock underneath you. Let that go the whole time. I said, "Okay, where's the brake?" He said, "There's no brake." I said, "Okay, here we go." And I've got a picture to prove it. Let me see if I can show you this. Oh, these are out of order, sorry. There. And so I had driven this roller for a little bit, and it gave me the most thrilling and the most terrifying moment of the whole week, all at the same time. It doesn't look like it was a slope right there, but man, my heart was racing. And then I turned to Greg. I'd driven it for a little bit, and I turned to him and I said, you know, should we switch? Do you want to drive? And he said, why? I said, well, you can do this faster. You can do this better. He said, no, keep going. And so from my community, I learned I can do hard things, and I can be challenged to persevere. And third, there was Bo. Every single week that an MDS team was in the area, Bo brought everybody cinnamon rolls. He is the person that gave a loaf of bread to us on Friday. And so we cubed it up and brought it back here, and those of you that were here that Sunday got to enjoy a piece. Bo and I got to have a long conversation one morning. And he told me about how he learned about Mennonites when he was an undergraduate and he got a degree in world religions. And he was impressed with Mennonites at that point. And then he learned about Mennonite disaster service and he was even more impressed with Mennonites. And then he was even more impressed that past week with you and with Mennonites because he said, you've got a female pastor and you sent her down here on this MDS trip. I had just come full circle back to Tuesday. Do I belong in this place? What am I doing here on this MDS trip? Why would a pastor go on an MDS trip? And our passage of scripture today answers some of that question. We in this room, we in Asheville, we in Minneapolis, all over the world, we are community. And more than that, God works through community. I thank God for Zion, for Kevin King, for the MDS team who treated me as a sibling. You were a supportive community to me. Well, I was as surprised as you may be that on Easter, let me get this to a blank, there we go. I was as surprised as you may be that on Easter Sunday, God decided that I should be preaching a sermon about community. Isn't Easter about new life? About Jesus conquering sin and death? Yes, yes it is. And according to our passage, it's also about God working through community. Now, some of you here may come here with the idea that scripture is boring. But if you go on an MDS trip and you don't feel like you belong, God can show you you belong even if you don't feel like you do. Just because we feel or think a certain way doesn't make it true. Scripture can be exciting. Our aim for the next couple of minutes is to think about this scripture in terms of how God works through community. What happened with Jesus' followers right before his death? Do you know? They were scattered. Community was absent. When Jesus was on trial, Peter abandons him. He says, I'm not his disciple. I wasn't with him in the garden. He's supposed to be the leader of the disciples. Think about how the other disciples might have responded to Peter after he did that. Were they angry with him? What would they say? Like, would they shut him out? Would they even talk with him? Now think about Mary. In John's gospel, she goes to the tomb alone. She is a portrait of faithfulness, wanting to be near Jesus even if he is dead, because he has transformed her life. Grieving on our own is painful twice, and Mary is grieving. But what if Mary had no one to turn to? What if Peter and John, when she came to them, had given up, said, no, we're out, we're done? And Jesus calls Mary by name. He sends her as the first disciple to the disciples with joyful news to share. And here's one of the reasons why I love Scripture. Scripture is timely. It's relatable. They needed community as badly as we do. And not just any community, but one centered on Jesus. And not just any community centered on Jesus, but specifically they believed Jesus is alive. See, sometimes our Anabaptist values trip us up. Here's what I mean. We love community in our Anabaptist circles. We value honest and transparent relationships with each other. We value caring for each other. And because we're human, sometimes we forget that Jesus is the one who leads the community. And Jesus is still alive. Here's a silly example. There's a song we sometimes sing that says, Christ has no body here but ours, no hands or feet with which to move. And I think that the song is about being, I think the point of the song is about being a community that is actively working in the world. And that's important. That's needed. And at the same time, today's passage and the rest of the book of John show Jesus after he's come back to life with an actual body, with marks where the nails had been and where his side had been pierced, that he invites Thomas to touch. He's alive. He had a body that ate fish with them on the beach later. There are passages of Scripture that talk about the church being a body and Jesus being the head of that body. Jesus is not decapitated. The church is not decapitated. So I invite us to receive this gift of joy. Jesus is alive now. Jesus is personal and near. If we are trying to muster up the strength to do this thing called life on our own, I am out. I can't do that. I know I can't. Addictions do not get overcome by willpower. Communities run at their best spiritually when they know Jesus is alive and personal and near, like this passage shows us. I have to show you verse 17 so you can see it for yourself what Jesus said. Jesus is preparing Mary to go to the disciples. And he says, go instead to my brothers. Pause right there. My brothers. He's not referred to them before as brothers. He's referred to them as friends. This is even more intimate. Something has changed after Jesus' death and resurrection. Now they are brothers with Christ. These are people that left and abandoned him. And he counts them as brothers. What does that tell us, church, about community? Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Right here, just after his resurrection, Jesus is building community. Do you see it? He builds community by sending Mary to the disciples because they need each other. He builds community by graciously forgiving them for how they treated him. And he builds community by the change his resurrection made in giving us intimacy with God. We have become siblings with Christ. We are a spiritual family. So by definition, even when we don't feel belonging yet, or we don't see belonging yet, belonging is in some sense already here. As painful as it is when we don't feel or see the community that we long for, imagine Jesus calling you by name and entrusting you with good news to share. We are accepted and believed and chosen. Chosen as siblings to share that Jesus is alive. Since community is what Jesus began, and since Jesus is alive and working through community, then that means that while we wait on the full and amazing version of community that's already started, we get to grow faith in the present by looking for and being community to someone. So three examples come to mind quickly for how Jesus is alive, personal, and near in this community at Zion. First of all, raise your hand if you have ever been impacted by a card that you received. I see a whole lot of hands. Sometimes on service Sundays, we write cards to other people in the wider community. And very often when I'm out and about in the community, somebody comes up to me and says, "That card that your church sent me meant so much to me. I kept it on the very top of my desk, and on the hard days, I pull it out and I read it again." How easy was it to write the card? And yet, how many people has this community impacted by a simple card? Example two of Jesus at work through this community. Every other week, Lori Friesen, Zion's associate pastor, and I meet to discern, to pray, to work on projects and events that are coming up, and to pay attention to what God is doing in this community at Zion. And the last two times we met, Lori said the same thing that she noticed after the worship service, which is, "Oh, people are staying even longer than usual. They're connecting with each other. God is on the move in this community." That's what that tells me. Example three. I remember the day when a crowd of first-year EMU students walked through the front door. That was 4 years ago. And since that time, Mary Ann and Sophia A. and Lauren and Lydia, all of whom are seniors now, have been practicing how to build community that is centered around Jesus. You've all done this. You've invited people in, and you invite more people in, and you care for one another, and you care about this body. Every young adult here gives hope to people here, and I've heard you even share hope with people who are online, people you've never even met or seen, because you're consistently showing up. You're wanting to learn about Jesus and to be a part of this community. And that shows me Jesus is alive and present and near. I'm going to share one last story and then give you an assignment. I learned this story from someone whose friend Derek works as a chaplain in a prison. The first couple of months he was working there, he tried to hold a Bible study. No one comes. Or when they do come, they come for the coffee and they sleep. So it must have been decaf, I don't know. And Derek is frustrated. Nobody's showing up. And he prays about it. He says, "God, what do you want me to do?" Something came to mind. Go down to cell block 11. And go to the very last cell. He does it. He looks in the cell, Does anyone here want a chaplain? And the second guy in the cell comes up. He says, really? Why are you here? He's alarmed. He says, I told God I was going to harm myself because I don't have any hope. And Derek says words to him, so fitting for an Easter sermon. Derek says, I have good news for you. God sent me here. So obviously, God cares. Derek sees that the man is distraught, and he asks him why. He says, I need a root canal, but I can't get out. They pray together. Nothing happens. And Derek's thinking, okay, well, now what do I do? He goes back to his office. Several hours later, a guard comes down to get him. There's shouting going on down at cell 11. Derek runs over. The prisoner in cell 11 is shouting, I don't have any pain in my mouth. Jesus is real. Listen to this guy. Everybody started coming to the Bible study. And Derek now visits people in their cells for 3 hours for a visit. Our assignment, Zion and friends, is to keep showing up for one another. There are people in our communities who are lonely, people who feel excluded. Maybe even people who wonder, like I did, what are we doing here? Why am I here? I've heard people say, she said she was going to call me so we could get together, and she still hasn't called. I have people like that too, who I want to get together with, and I've been too busy. You brought with you a gift of community. Keep growing it. I'm going to give you a few ideas for how to join in, and if you've got an idea bubbling up that I don't mention, go with that one. Option one, talk with someone after the worship service who looks open to conversation and preferably that you don't know very well. And if you're peopled out or you've got lunch plans, pick another option. It's fine. But if you choose this option, introduce yourself. You can even ask, what's the most thrilling and terrifying thing you've done recently? Option number two. There's a webinar at the end of the month by Jesus Collective, and it's called How to Forge a Real Relationship, or sorry, a Real Friendship. The link is in the church newsletter, or contact Aaron, Zion's office assistant, for the link. Option three, there's a table in the foyer. I'm going to spread some cards all over it. I encourage you to write a note or take one with you. Mail it or give it to somebody here. And if you have trouble deciding who to send it to, well, first of all, you can take multiple if you want to. But also, we're giving you space now to listen to the Spirit who is alive and who is at work in us. We've asked Zach and friends to share a song that they performed at his concert several months ago. And as you listen to this song and listen to the lyrics, also be listening for who, notice who comes to mind during the song. Who comes to mind for you, and choose them like Jesus. Amen.